Right, this begins our first Q&A session. So if you have a question, please just raise your virtual hand and I'll see it in the chat. And while you're thinking of your questions, maybe I'll start with one. So Celine, you mentioned that you're basically trying to study the phase space of gravity. Was it on the boundaries?
No, it's gravity is a gauge theory. So actually what you get is something that's really living in the codimension two or codimension one surface. So that's why we are like, I mean, the information like at the end of the day is on this codimension two or codimension one, depending on the point of view of what you're taking, plus the radiation that you can get that maybe that is not described by the boundary, but so all the question is how this boundary structure that where you would measure your observable and everything, all the charge are really like codimension two quantity and this interaction with the radiation that something traveling in the bulk. So yeah, we are forced to look at boundaries for gravity.
And then if you want to make a connection to quantum gravity, can I think as simplistically as carving up phase space into pixels of size h bar or something like that, and then proceeding that way? Or
Yeah.
how does it connect?
I think the point is like because we get this symmetry algebra that will that the symmetry of the phase space that will like that will organize your states in the Hilbert space eventually. So that's I think that's what we get as an insight about how quantum gravity have to behave. But yeah, I'm not an expert in quantum gravity, so I hope in my stay in PI I will become more an expert on the how to quantize gravity, but yeah.
Well, you'll be forced to, I think.
Yeah, that
Okay, any questions? Okay, Juan.
fine. I also have a question for Celine. So you mentioned that you worked on this black hole symmetry of black hole horizon, right? So one question I always have is that, for example, by reading the work by Flanagan, Kapu, and others, they always assume that the geodesics on the horizon are complete. So in the sense that, right, there's no caustic on the horizon, but we know if there is infalling particle to the horizon, there has to be caustics. So I wonder, have you ever thought about if you allow this particle infall scenario or caustics in the horizon, like how does the symmetry change?
Yeah, thanks for the question. So if I think the my approach is more like coordinate dependent approach, so I don't need to suppose that my horizon is geodetically complete. And actually, we have been describing some infalling particle like falling into the horizon of a black hole in my last work. And so I think Flanagan and Prabhu like have this definition that is not relying on coordinates, so maybe they have to assume something more. While from my side, I'm assuming coordinates, so maybe I don't have their viewpoint, but at least I have some coordinates where I can model like an horizon. You throw something in, and you have an horizon that has grown a bit. So yeah, so I would say that.
Okay. Yeah, well, I think the presence of caustic is coordinate independent. So whatever coordinate.
Yeah, but I think the point is that what I'm looking at, you can look at one region. You don't need to know what is happening far, like. So I don't need to know all the structure for the full horizon. I don't need to know the endpoint of the horizon in a way. I can just look, say, oh, here I have another surface, and don't look at what is happening at like infinitely far in the future or in the past. So I can like locally I can describe it by the system of coordinate I have.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay, Jesse.
And a question for Matthias about the mini Boon result you mentioned. So if those recent results kind of rule out sterile neutrinos, do you or do people have sort of other ideas for what might be behind those short baseline anomalies?
Yeah, so that's a great question. I should clarify the stellar neutrino explanation, which has been the working one for like decades so far. It has been in tension with data for a very long time, chiefly among them cosmological data. So it's not a great model, has never been, but now it looks even worse. So, and it's not fully excluded by Microbone. It's more excluded by other experiments than Microbone. The alternative hypotheses that give you, for example, additional new E's in these neutrino beams, which you would get from oscillations, typically have new mu's and the oscillation transverse them to new E's. These explanations are also in a little bit of trouble now. So you could imagine new particles decaying to new E's in the beam that would give you something similar to oscillations. Those are also in trouble. The ones that are currently working are things that can be produced inside of the detector. They will decay to a single photon or to E plus E minus pairs. Those are not excluded. There are models that can give you that type of thing. And usually these models are related to low scale neutrino mass models. So heavy neutral leptons with 100 MeV mass, which unfortunately wouldn't give you a lot of cosmological imprint, or fortunately for, you know, the fact that these models are allowed. And they would decay immediately into these pairs of electron positrons or single gammas. And that's a possibility that's currently being looked for inside of Microbone, which is the follow-up to the Miniboon experiment. And I'm actually involved in E plus E minus searches, so we're doing data analysis for that final state as well. So it's a space to keep an eye on. And if you do find something, it's going to be a very strange model, nothing like the minimal type of solutions we have so far.
Yeah. Any other questions from the audience? I had one question for Mark that I wanted to ask real quick before we go on to the next speaker. So one of the interesting things you mentioned was looking for connections between different approaches to quantum gravity. Is the idea there that the different approaches are describing the same physics in a different language, and sort of how do you tell that that's true or not?
Well, so the scenario that I mentioned was more that one has like a fundamental description in terms of string theory that then has a cutoff that then has a scale where an effective field theoretic description is possible, and that this effective field theory description still is sets in above the Planck scale such that an intermediate asymptotically safe regime might be realized. But of course, it would also be interesting to see whether like the different formulations of quantum gravity are fundamentally the same. And I guess to really investigate this, one would have to look at observational consequences or even look at consistency and see whether different features, for example, the dimensional reduction, which has been observed in different approaches to quantum gravity or others, are shared among these approaches. But of course, it's very difficult to actually get quantitative grasp on this.